Amen. So as you can see, we're starting a new series for Christmas called With Us. That is the series. And for the OSL students today, today's message is called No Ordinary Baby. So the series is With Us. It'll be this week, not next week because of the concert, the following week, and then the weekend of Christmas as well. And so praise God. So With Us. And as we start this new series, I'm starting it because I really feel that Christmas should be an amazing time for each of us, especially as believers. And I know that that is not always the case. Now, I know that I'm going to be referring to Christmas as December 25th and the birth of Jesus Christ. I am very aware of as a pastor, trust me, that Jesus was probably born in April, March or April, and that the calendar gives us that leeway by about 4 years. How do we know that? Because Herod went out and searched for the children that were born up to 4 years of age. So we don't exactly know the birth. We don't exactly know the date. It seems to be when the shepherds would be out, and that would be springtime when the sheep would be having their babies and they would be multiplying. And so it just seems that Jesus' birth would be that time. So forget all of that. We're going to talk as if December 25th, this season that we are celebrating, is the birth of Christ, okay? And everything else will fit right in with that if you keep that in mind. You know, sometimes there's people, especially maybe not in church but online, would say, well, Pastor, you're a little wrong there. Jesus' birthday isn't the 25th. I totally get that. And but, you know, no matter when you celebrate it, Christmas should be, I think, one of the most amazing times for each and every one of us. It is always an amazing time for me, even in some of the painful things that I experience. And, you know, sometimes we experience loss and we go through things. And maybe it's the first Christmas without something or someone. And that can be painful in some of those things. But even then, it should be an amazing time. Even then, it should mean something. It should really excite us as believers in Jesus Christ. But what happens is, and I speak this every year, there's a busyness, right? There's a busyness, right? Not only is there a busyness, there's a business, right? Christmas has been commercialized. If you haven't noticed over the last many, many, many years, Christmas has been commercialized. Watch TV for a half hour and see how many commercials right now are airing about Christmas and what the kids want and what she wants and what he wants. And what those things can do, if we're not focused on what Christmas really means, church, those things can make Christmas a drag. Those things can tie us down. Maybe you're required to work extra. Maybe you're not required. Maybe you're working extra because you need some extra Christmas money. Maybe the kids are just, you know, banging their heads against walls because they want this or they want that. Or maybe you're wondering, well, how can I this year even begin to purchase something for somebody? I don't have the finances to even do what I'm doing. Listen, all of that is immaterial to Christmas when we really understand what Christmas means. And so all of that, you give that to the Lord, and you take care of that with your family and friends. In fact, let's face it this way. If you're not careful and if you're not slowing life down and just experiencing the birth of this Savior, you know what's going to happen? You're going to take a breath and Christmas is going to be over. And we're going to be in a new year and you're going to say, where did that go? How did that happen? Where did this come about at? And so just know that that's going to happen if you're not careful. And many of us miss the joy that I'm about to talk about. Many of us miss the meaning of what I'm, even in church. I mean, come on, Pastor, we know that it's Jesus' birthday. Tell you what, we can miss it very easily in the world that we're living in. And so let me say it this way. The joy of Christmas is more than wrapping paper on the floor. The joy of Christmas is more than that ham or turkey or whatever you put on the table. Maybe it's Italian, maybe it's Chinese. There's a lot of traditions. It's more than that. The joy of Christmas is more than contented children sleeping on the couch because they got everything they wanted and they didn't even play with a single toy. They played with the boxes. The joy of Christmas is much more than those things because our real joy is found in celebrating and worshiping the Savior who was born this day. Amen? That's where the real joy comes from. Worshiping and praising this Savior who was born. Christmas really is charged. And Christmas is really experienced to its fullness through our faith in Jesus Christ. Let me say that again. Really, Christmas takes its meaning. Christmas takes its power. Christmas takes its full effect in our lives as we express our faith in Jesus Christ. Parents, when you gather those kids around the Christmas tree, Christmas on a Sunday is the heart. I think next year, it's Christmas on a Sunday, I think. Maybe the year after that. It's coming very quickly. Christmas will be on a Sunday. And you know, that's one of the hardest Sunday services to get everybody to because, let's face it, at least in my house, I don't know how you open gifts, but when we were kids, we didn't open gifts till like 12 or 1 o'clock because we had to wait for the grandparents to come in and all of this. And dad had probably just gotten to sleep at 8 o'clock in the morning, so he needed some sleep. And then we had to go to church. We couldn't open gifts. We looked at the tree and it was piled high, and we couldn't open a single one of those things until church. Man, I'll tell you what, Christmas on a Sunday can be a drag for some of the kids. And so here's what I'm saying. I said that to say this. Parents, before they dive into those gifts, sit them down and tell the story of Jesus Christ. And let them know what this day is really about. And let them know. Today I'm going to have a privilege of going into the homes. A lot of the homes don't give me this privilege, but I've got two homes this year that have. And I'm going to sit down, and you know how I sit down. I'm not going to go into details because I don't know who's all watching. But I'm going to sit down, and I'm going to share the story of Jesus Christ today with two children in their home. And I'm going to share next week in Poppy's garage, I'm going to share the story of Jesus Christ to his 4, 5, 6 grandchildren. And this has been a joy. This is what I've really been doing this for and searching for, the time that this would come right, because that's what it's all about. And we're going to, so sit them down. Don't let them open the gifts yet. Let their eyes be ablaze with the magic. And then sit them down and say, you know why? Do you know why there's gifts under the tree? Do you know why we're celebrating this today? Do you understand that God gave us the greatest gift of all? And that none of us could ever know the fullness of life. None of us could ever know joy in our lives. None of us could ever know peace in our hearts except for that little child, that Savior, Jesus Christ, who was born in a manger. And go through the story and just let their little eyes come to life, and let there be a fire of God that burns in their hearts. And then you know what? They will open up their gifts fast, and they will play with the boxes, but they will also have a greater understanding of what it really means. Amen? And so, because of what truly took place that first Christmas morning, it changes everything. God has come to us in the form of the U-man, right? Human, Jesus Christ. He was 100% God, and he was 100% human being when he came into this earth. He was flesh and yet the Godhead. And we know what the prophecy says about him. The prophecy says he is literally God with us. And with that thought in mind, turn over to Matthew chapter 1 today, and let's look at verses 18 to 25. Father, bless your word this morning. Amen. Matthew 1, verses 18 to 25. Now the birth of Jesus Christ was as follows. After his mother Mary was betrothed to Joseph, before they came together, she was found with the child of the Holy Spirit. Then Joseph, her husband, being a just man and not wanting to make her a public example, was minded to put her away secretly. But while he thought about these things, behold, an angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream, saying, Joseph, son of David, do not be afraid to take to you Mary your wife, for that which is conceived in her is of the Holy Spirit. And she will bring forth a son, and you shall call his name Jesus, for he will save his people from their sins. So all this was done that it might be fulfilled, which was spoken by the Lord through the prophet, saying, Behold, the virgin shall be with child, and bear a son, and they shall call his name Emmanuel, which is translated God with us. Then Joseph, being aroused from sleep, did as the angel of the Lord commanded him, and took to him his wife. And he did not know her till she had brought forth her firstborn son, and he called his name Jesus. My first thought today, no, it's not going to be a very long message. My first thought today is the truth has to be caught. Sometimes for the truth to be caught, it has to be taught, parents. Sometimes for the truth to be caught, we just have to sit down and sometimes read between the busyness and read between the business and read between the craziness and read between the lines, so to say. And so the truth has to be caught. Did you catch it when I read those scriptures? Can you see it today? What was it? A baby was born. Hallelujah. And that is what the world sees. Many people gather around their Christmas trees, and many people gather around their Christmas tables, and you know what they see? Okay, a baby was born. That's what history sees. That's what family sees. And it's sad if that's all that they see, because that becomes the meaning of this special holiday. And I've heard parents, you know, it's not just that the world isn't talking about Jesus. I've heard parents tell their kids, hey, Jesus was born today. Oh yeah, a child was born in Bethlehem. Great. But what does that mean, right? Because if it's just Jesus was born, if it's just a baby was born, if it's just we know his name and we know the date that he was born, big whip, because babies are born every day, right? Taisha and Kat have a date on their mind of a little Alejandra's birthday. They know it well. Why? Because it's the birth of their son. All of us have dates in mind. October 18th. Great, Christian's birthday. Well, they're both the teens, and I get them mixed up. Kenny's December 14th. See, I knew the 14th. If I wasn't October 14th, it was December 18th. So I just have to, right? We know those dates. They're important to us because they're the birth of our children. We know our date, right? A baby was born, right? This is what history sees. This is what people see. This is what history tells us. And like I said, sadly, it just becomes another day then. But the truth is that there was much more than just a baby. He was a baby, but there's much more to this. See, the news was missed. It was December of 1903. And that after many attempts, the Wright brothers, Orville and Wilbur, were successful in getting their flying machine off the ground and into the air at Kitty Hawk. Thrilled over the accomplishment, they telegraphed this message to their sister Catherine. They said, "We have actually flown 120 feet. We'll be home for Christmas." Catherine, thinking this was so exciting, hurried to the editor of the local newspaper and showed him the message. He glanced at the telegraph and he said, "How nice. The boys will be home for Christmas." He totally missed the big news that for the very first time in human history, man had flown. It might have only had been 120 feet, but it was 120 feet that man had not flown before for not jumping off a building. You know what I'm saying? Okay? And so this was exciting news. And here she wants it in the paper. Man has flown 120 feet. Oh, great. The boys are coming home for Christmas. Will we miss Jesus? Will we miss the importance of what Christmas means because of the presents? Will we miss Jesus because of the bills? Will we miss Jesus because of the cost? Will we miss Jesus because of the dates that we have to meet with family and do this and that? Will we miss Jesus because of the busyness and the busyness of this season? See, there is big news related to this Christmas holiday. And the big news is this: his birth was different than all others. His birth was different than all others. This mother was a virgin. I don't like the other translations, the Living Translation, the NIV. Some of them take it and say she was a young girl. That means nothing in our society today, because there are young girls having babies every day in our society. This mother was a virgin. She had never known a man in the sexual sense until her first son was born. That's something. And I'm sure that there have been women today somewhere along the line that have said, "Oh no, this was just a miracle." No, can't happen. Cannot happen. Sorry, the lies. There's only one woman that could say that in all this world, and that was Mary. And science has been trying hard to match this miracle, but they always fall short. Because no matter what they do, whether it's in a petri dish, whether it's in the womb of another woman, whatever the case is, the fact is you still need the seed of a male and the egg of a woman. And maybe you say, "Yeah, but they're doing things, you know, what do they call it? What they do with that sheep? What do they call it? Cloning. Even cloning, you still have to take something from somebody who came from the male seed and a woman's egg. Okay? At least to my knowledge. And so science is trying to do something. Science is trying to match the miracle of God, but they will never be able to do it the way that God planned it to be. You see, this was not the birth of Jesus. The birth of Jesus was not the egg of a woman and the seed of a man. It was the egg of a woman, and we don't know, understand it all. And it was the seed of God, the Holy Spirit, the Holy One from heaven. Jesus was the seed of the Holy Spirit. Jesus was the Son of God. And there will never be another birth like his. And there's a definite reason for that. Because he has to be seen as the Son of Man. Though he is totally human, he also has to be seen as totally God. All of heaven was involved in this birth. And maybe moms and maybe dads, you're saying, "Oh, you don't understand, Pastor Ken. Heaven was involved in the birth of my child." I get it. Some of our children are miracles. I get that. And some of them, and in many situations, moms, you came, science tells us you came the closest to death that you'll ever come, besides going into death, to give birth to those children. We get that. There is a miracle involved. Heaven is involved. But this was different. God was his father through the power and the presence of the Holy Spirit upon frail flesh. Not only that, we sang about it today. Angels showed up in the sky. Thousands of angels, hundreds, whatever you want to say. I think it just says host of angels. And they showed up in heaven and they prophesied. Well, first the angels prophesied. Back in the Old Testament, the angels prophesied. And then they show up and they herald his birth. They sing of his birth. They declare his birth. He would be God's flesh avenue to his people. See, God wanted to live among his people. God wanted to be with his people. And because of sin, that could not happen. And so God wanted to live among the people. God wanted to soon live within them. But this was not possible. But now it was because of the birth on Christmas Day. And that is the whole key to this message this morning. His name shall be called Emmanuel, meaning God with us. His birth changed humanity. When God hung the earth on its axis, everything was the way that he wanted it to be. And then he creates the animals, and he creates all of nature. And the Bible says, read it, the Bible says that he created all of this, did all of this, guess what? For you. So that mankind could enjoy the life that God was going to give to them. So that they could live in it. So that they could enjoy it. So that they could be all inspired by it. The Bible tells us that in the cool of the evening, every evening, God would walk and talk with Adam and Eve. Can you imagine those conversations? Can you imagine what it was like in the coolness of the evening to walk with God through the garden? Now, Adam and Eve used 100% of their minds. There's a lot that I think about that. I'm not going to get into it today. It has nothing to do with the message. But I want you to, I don't think that God just had to explain everything. I don't think the talks were just explanation. Well, Adam, that's a tree, and this is how it works. It comes up from the roots, and it has leaves. And they never lost their leaves, those trees. And there were not seasons. And so I don't think it had anything. I think Adam understood. I think Adam understood as God understood. The only thing that Adam could not understand was sin and depravity, because he didn't know it until he took of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. He didn't understand evil. He only knew good. And so he'd walk with God, and God would just, I mean, it had to be just, you know, when I would walk with my grandfather, when I'd walk with my dad, or when I walked with my boys, or when I walk with a good friend, and we just discuss life, and we just laugh, and we just have fun together, and it's just a great time. It had to be like that. Can you imagine that? Can I tell you this? You can. Because of Christmas. You don't even have to imagine it. Because of Christmas, you and I can have that with our Lord once again. God will meet us and talk with us and walk with us and lead us and guide us and empower us. And though we only use 10% of our brains, and again, I have all kinds of thinkings for this. I believe it's because of sin, because of the depravity of man. Imagine what man would do with 100% of their brains. Look what we've done with 10% of our brains. And so God cut that off somehow. But anyway, you know, God does teach us things and God does show us things because we don't have the full understanding like Adam and Eve did. But up till that very Christmas, that very first Christmas, God could not dwell with his people. God could not talk with his people. We know in the Old Testament, he'd send prophets. What would they do? They'd kill the prophets. They'd put the prophets in prison. They didn't want to hear what the prophets had to say. They didn't want to hear the voice of God. And so he could not dwell with his people. Why? Because they had sinned. Because there was brokenness. And God cannot condone or fellowship with sin. It's impossible. And sin would be destroyed. If a man who is sinful would come into the presence of the Almighty God, the fire of purity, the fire of innocence, the fire of righteousness, what would happen? That sin and flesh would be burned up and consumed in the midst of the righteous God. Sin could not exist in the presence of God, so God could no longer walk with man and woman the way that he used to do. That means that humankind would be destroyed. And we know that because Romans tells us that the price of sin is death. It's death. Sin is death. Sin brings death. And so the price of sin is death. So God kills an animal, and he uses the skin to cover Adam and Eve's nakedness and to cover their sin, so to say. And in so doing, he begins a system of daily offerings that must take place. Now, animals must be killed. The lamb must be slain. And the animals must continue to die and be sacrificed so that now God can live near man. He can't live with them, but he can live near them. And so man is taught to build an altar and to worship God there. Man is taught to build a temple and to worship God there. And they can come to the temple, they can bring their offering, they can bring their sacrifice, and they can sacrifice that animal. God takes place or takes up residence in that holy temple, the tent of meeting, later the temple, okay, or the tabernacle, and a place that they could come and worship him, sacrifice the animal, but they still couldn't come near him. He was in their midst, but not among them. Does that make sense? And one day a year, only one man could go in and offer before God, come face to face with the presence of God, and that was the high priest. And he could only go in but one day a year. And then, Merry Christmas. Amen? Come on, Merry Christmas. Our Savior is born. Our Savior had come. John says it like this in John chapter 1, verses 1 to 5. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. This is Jesus. He was in the beginning with God. All things were made through him, and without him, nothing was made that was made. In him was life, and the life was the light of men. And the light shines in the darkness, and the darkness does not comprehend it, cannot comprehend it, did not comprehend it. And then go down to verse 14, John chapter 1, verse 14. Christmas, Merry Christmas. And the Word became flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld his glory, the glory as of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. John bore witness of him and cried out, saying, this was he of whom I said, he who comes after me is preferred before me, for he was before me. And of his fullness we have all received, and grace for grace. For the law was given through Moses, but grace and truth came through Jesus Christ. No one has seen God at any time. The only begotten Son, who is in the bosom of the Father, he has declared him. The Word. Capital W, if you look at those verses. The Word, talking about the person of God, talking about Jesus, talking about the Son of God. The Word, the person, and the promises of God came to live upon mankind. So if you're reading the scriptures and you're reading the promises of God and you're saying, oh, how does that apply to me? Oh, God, I love that. How does that, oh, God, oh, I just can't get enough of this. Lord, this is amazing. And you're saying, how does this work in my life? Merry Christmas. Because this was made flesh and came to dwell among us. No longer is it about words on a page. It now becomes words in a life. It now becomes words on this earth. It now becomes the power and presence of God on this earth, walking and talking with mankind and bringing life to mankind and exciting mankind and bringing resurrection power to mankind. Flesh that should have died because of sin, flesh that should have been expended because of sin and rebelliousness, can now live again, can now come and rise up and know the things of God. So the Word, the person, the promises of God came to live upon mankind, and not just to live near them, but Emmanuel, God with us, now to live with them. Amen? And guess what? Not just to live with them, but there's also another meaning to the word Emmanuel, God in us. No longer do we have to go to the tabernacle. You don't have to come to church to meet God. You come to church because God wants to meet you. And God wants you to meet your brothers, and God wants you to meet your sisters, and God says, come, don't forsake the assembling of yourselves, because when you gather together, could you watch me on TV today? You most certainly could sit there and watch TV. If you don't like this man speaking, you could watch another woman, you could watch another man speak, because we're all over the internet. Right? That's the joy of the internet, getting the word of God out. So you could watch anybody you want. But here's what I'm saying. It's not the same of getting together. I know the camera's not following me. And rubbing shoulders with somebody in the flesh. And praying with somebody. And caring for somebody. And loving on somebody. It's never the same. And you can say, hey, listen, I love it when I'm out on the water. I love it here. I love it when I'm on a roller coaster. I love it when I'm on my motorcycle. I love it when I'm riding in the car. Man, I just feel the presence of God all over. I get that because he is with you. He's in you. But there's nothing like coming to church and rubbing shoulders with your brothers and sisters. That is something that God built into every Christian life. And we need to have it because something happens. God with us. You see, light dispels darkness. Have you ever walked through a room that's pitch black? You don't know where you're at. Can I tell you something? You're either going to stub your toe, you're going to break something, or you're going to fall face first over something. Because you don't know what's in that room. You don't know how it's laid out. I go downstairs sometimes. and sometimes I'll go down these stairwells. Well, there's no switches there. And so I go downstairs, and already that part of the downstairs is already a death trap right in the dark, I'll tell you that, because that's where everything's stored. And I'll just feel my way, and I'll shuffle my feet, right? So I'm not tripping over anything, because I know where the light switches are, but then I got to get out to the tables. Now I got to navigate the tables, and it's almost impossible. But the light dispels darkness. You flip one light switch. You hit the button on your phone. You do something that illuminates, maybe your watch face. You don't need much, and light dispels darkness. This is what John says. The light came among us. The light shone upon us who were living in the dark. But you know what? It couldn't really do anything in us until it first made us part of that light. Does that make sense? Because you're still living in darkness. And so darkness is all around you. Darkness envelops you in sin and brokenness and rebelliousness. Darkness surrounds you. And so Jesus had to be born in the flesh so that he could die the death that he had to die, so that we could be raised up with him and made children of God. We could become children of light. And so now the darkness that was around us is dispelled. It's like flipping on the light switch. Darkness is gone. Darkness is dispelled. It is expelled. It is gone. Where we are, because Jesus is in us. You see, that birth, the birth of this child, changed humanity forever. He changed you and me forever. Paul tells us, as he told the church in Ephesus, in Ephesians 5:8, "For you were once darkness, but now you are light in the Lord. Therefore, walk as children of light." Where once we could not receive the light of God's word. Now through Jesus Christ, this child, this Savior, this Son of God that was born on Christmas morning, we become children of light in God. And we walk in light, and we walk in newness of life, and we walk in newness of faith. Where once we were blinded to the truth and power of God's word, now through Christ and the Holy Spirit, this word lives right inside of us. Listen, I do tell you to carry your Bibles. I do tell you to get a paper Bible. I know it's on your phone. I know it's on your tablet. I get that. But there's nothing like having a paper Bible that you can write in and scribble in and take the notes that God is teaching. There's nothing like it. I guarantee there's nothing like it. But it's not enough just to have even a paper version. It's not enough to have a tablet version. It's not enough to have the online version. It's got to be in your heart. Thy word have I hid in my heart, that I may not sin against you. And so now we have, because of Christmas, the Word can live right inside of us. It speaks to us. He speaks to us. I shouldn't say it. He is a person. He speaks to us. He leads us and he guides us. He changes us. Miss Laura and I get to talk almost every day in school. We do lunchtime together, and so we oversee lunch. We don't do lunch. We have to watch the students, and in doing that, sometimes we'll get together and we'll just talk about what God is doing. And let me tell you, God is just at work in her life, and I'll let her tell the story. Amen. I'll let her tell you someday. But it's amazing. It's amazing. And it's not just Laura. I could sit with any one of you and find that out and know some of those things already, because you shared those things with me. Praise God. He leads us and guides us. He changes us. Where once we were under the cold, dead grip of the law of God, the Old Testament, a place that we could not get out of, a place that we could not get free of, a condition that we could not change in our lives. We were sinners, and we had to be judged by a certain level of God's law, a bar that we could never rise to and make. Now we live, John says, under the touch of God's grace. It's not a grip. It's a touch of God's grace. And through grace, we receive the mercy of God. And what mercy and grace say is that you're not going to get what you deserve, because we already know what sin deserves. It deserves death. But you're going to get what you don't deserve. You're going to get what I want to give you. Didn't we love when our parents were gracious? Didn't we love when the boss was merciful? Didn't we love when our friends were merciful toward us? and they didn't hold against us those things that we had said, those things that we did, those things that we were involved in. Aren't we excited by those things? That's the way it is with God because of Christmas. Now it's grace, and we receive the mercy of God, and we receive the ability to become the temple of His Holy Spirit. So God lives in us. So no longer is God just with us as with Adam and Eve. No longer is God just with us as He was with His disciples. But now God is in us. Now through the Holy Spirit, He indwells us. What does that mean? It means wherever we go, wherever we find ourselves, whatever predicament we find ourselves in, you don't have to, you can cry out to God, He's there, but I want you to know you don't have to reach out for God, He's there. He's there. He's involved in every facet of our lives, whether we realize it or not. He is our God, and we are His people. And there's an OSL teaching that'll set your heart on fire when you hear this. I don't know what level it is, but it's there. And through Jesus Christ, as the writer of Hebrews tells us, Hebrews 4, 15 and 16, for we do not have a high priest who cannot sympathize with our weaknesses, but was in all points tempted as we are, yet without sin. Let us therefore come boldly to the throne of grace, that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in the time of need. You see, Hebrews is all about what is better than the Old Testament. And so he says, now we have a high priest who knows how we feel. Now we have a high priest who understands, talking about Jesus, not just the high priest that was a man that could only go before God one time a year, but now we have a high priest who sits at the right hand of God continuously making intercession for us. He lived on this earth for 33 years, so he knows every pain that we've experienced. He understands every temptation that we've experienced. He understands everything that we go through. He understands the diseases that come against our bodies. He understands the things that rack our brain and try to keep us busy thinking about, oh no, I'm gonna worry about this, or I'm gonna worry. He understands it all. We have this high priest. And so because of that, and because he has made us with like as if we are, as we are without sin, not as if, we are without sin because of his sacrifice, we can now come boldly before the throne of grace. We can now come into the presence of God. That's all God ever wanted. To walk with his people, to talk with his people, to love on his people, to care for his people. That's what Christmas is all about. Praise the Lord. So when you gather around that tree or you gather around that table, whether you're alone or whether you're with 50 people, family and friends, I just want you to know, just call out to Jesus and say, thank you. Thank you for dying on the cross. Thank you for coming as flesh. Thank you for bringing me to the throne of grace. My life has been changed. Can you see today, brothers and sisters, the change that Christmas has brought to humanity? Because they don't all see it. Can you see it today? Better yet, do you see the hope of change that it can make and will in you and me forever? Not only has it changed humanity, we're a part of humanity. It's changed us. That should bring joy to our lives. That should bring not just the joy of Christmas, the joy of waking up. I love waking up every Christmas. We went to bed with a tree that was bare. We woke up with lights and tinsel and Christmas balls, like the magic of Christmas. It was amazing. And so our little eyes were just, oh my gosh. But see, that joy goes quickly. That joy goes after the toy's broken, after the thing is lost, after the money's spent, after the family leaves, after, I think this does have something to do with it. Don't let me get lost in this because I am trying to make a point and I can get lost in it very quickly. You know, I think when somebody loses somebody, I think we should be mindful of not just coming to their house at that moment and bringing food. Because I don't know about you, but I've been in those situations, and some of that food even gets thrown out because you can't eat it all before it goes. And I think the thing is, long term, that after a month has gone by, we show up with food. That after 9 months has gone by, we show up with something. Why? Because that's when everything hits. That's when the pain comes. What am I saying? I'm saying is relationship is very important. And that quick I got lost. The joy being gone as family leaves, that's what it was. The joy being gone as family leaves, the joy of Christmas can go. No, It's not about family leaving. It's not about family being with us. It's about Jesus Christ. It's a joy that lasts forever. It's a joy that, yes, it's in this season, but it's in the next season of life, and it's in the next season of the year, and it's in the next quarter of the year, and the second quarter of the year, and the third quarter of the year. It's 10 years from now in our lives. The joy of what Jesus has done. Hallelujah. The joy of Christmas, the joy of what this Christmas child came to do, what the Son of God has done in our lives, that's a joy. And it should cause celebration in our hearts, and it should cause celebration in our lives. And it should be that every time the church comes together, we may not be celebrating Christmas in March of next year, but that joy should still be here. The joy of Jesus' birth, the joy of I'm no longer who I used to be, the joy of, wow, you're my brother, you're my sister. This is amazing, the family that God has put me into. I don't have to go through life in pain alone. I don't have to go in life through the hurts and pains of everything that I'm experiencing, because God's placed me in a family. Oh my gosh, Emmanuel, God with us. Amen. Praise the Lord. Emmanuel, God with us. Emmanuel, God in us. The miracle of Christmas. The miracle of his birth. The miracle of our new birth. Amen? Let me bring this to a close today. So let me ask you this morning, church. Let me ask you all this wonderful Christmas season. Do you live like Jesus is just an ordinary human being? Do you live like, oh, it's Christmas, a baby was born. Oh, it's Christmas, a baby was born. Isn't that cute? So do you live like that? Do you just see Christmas as mostly everyone else sees it? The birth of a child? Or do you live today like he is God? Do you live today like he is God? Do you live today like he is who he is? It wasn't just a baby. It was God born in the flesh so that he could make a difference in our lives. Do you see Christmas for the true miracle that it really is? Do you see that this child has come for a purpose, and that purpose involves you? See, for so many years, many of us couldn't see that it involved me. We knew church, we knew people who served Christ, but we're like, well, what does that mean to me? And all of a sudden, now it's been made real. Listen, if you're sitting here, whether you've been visiting with us for the last month and a half, or the last 3 months, or whether you've been here 100 years, that'd be a miracle, because the church is only about 40 years old. But, amen. So here's the deal. No matter what, wow, my mind just went that quick too. I had something to say. Lord, bring it out. Here's what I'm trying to say. Know this, God has added you to a church family. It may not be a huge church family. There may not be 5,000 people here as there are in some churches, but I'm going to guarantee you this, in a church this size, we know who you are and we care about you. And sometimes pastor doesn't call you enough to let you know that. And I'm sorry for that. Sometimes I let the busyness of life come between some things that I need to do. And I'm sorry about that. And if you have ever felt that, I apologize. I am not perfect in any means in what I do. But I want you to know we do see you. And you are important here. And you will be loved here. And that's the importance of us getting together and knowing one another. You know, there are people sitting in this place today that are hurting, are screaming inside. And we don't even know it, because we don't spend enough time with one another to really get to know one another. Now, some of that is their fault, because sometimes they'll never open up to us because they just don't feel like they can trust us yet. But I want you to know, we do know them. And we do care about them because they've been added here. They are our brothers and sisters. Sometimes we take Christ out of Christmas when we make Jesus' birth feel like more of a story and less of a life-changing event, don't we? And when we do that, we miss what this holiday really means to us. Kids, you gotta love them. They are fantastic. Look at the energy they have. Right? And we miss what this holiday really means if we just make Jesus' birth a story. Don't tell us. We've been sharing this in OSL for the last 6 weeks now. Don't tell a story, but be empowered by the Holy Spirit to live it out. Amen. Let's not tell the story of Christmas. Let's live the story. Let's live like Christmas really meant something. And whether you open a lot of gifts and whether you open no gifts, and whether you're with family or whether you're not, and whether you're experiencing great joy or whether there's pain, know this. You are a part of something bigger because of Christmas morning than you will ever know. You are part of the family of God. And these things that we're experiencing shall pass. But eternity is unbelievable and something to look forward to because of the birth of this Savior on Christmas Day. Amen? Let's pray.